the Shore Shame Podcast, shining a light to the nations.
Hi, everybody. This is Bill Cloud, and I want to welcome you to this week's Torah Tidbit. The tidbit is taken from the Torah portion called Metzora, which is the word or name given to one who has been afflicted with Zarat, which was the emphasis of the previous Torah portion. And Zarat is often mistakenly rendered as leprosy. But let's go to the scripture and read from Leviticus 14, beginning in verse 1. It says, "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'This shall be the law of the Metzora for the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought to the priest, and the priest shall go out of the camp, and the priest shall examine him. And indeed, if the Zarat," and that's probably translated leprosy in your Bible, "if the Zarat is healed in the Metzora," or the leper, "then the priest shall command to take for him who is to be cleansed two living and clean birds, cedar wood, scarlet, and hyssop." And thus, while the previous Torah portion defined what the Zarat is, this portion addresses the particular instructions that are given to the priest and to the Metzora who has been healed of their affliction. Now, up until this time, this person would have been considered essentially a walking corpse, capable of contaminating anything that was in a building in which they happened to enter. Of all the contaminations that can afflict people, as recorded for us in Scripture, it's interesting that only the Metzora was to be excluded from all the camps of Israel, underscoring the belief that in this particular case, that is the Metzora, it was not the body, but the heart that needed to be healed. Now, this portion is also going to hint at this fact. As soon as a person's heart changes, God removes the mark of his degradation, and then the person can immediately begin the process of returning to his Creator. Because as we see in this Torah portion, when news of the person's recovery was first brought to the priest, the Kohen, or the priest, could pronounce him clean on that very same day, on the day that the symptoms disappeared, that is. Now, compare that with the process of pronouncing him unclean. Well, it took weeks sometimes, but as soon as he was free of the symptoms, he would be declared clean. Now, the first part of this ritual was performed outside of the camp, and once that part of the ritual was completed, the Metzora could re-enter the camp of Israel. He stayed in his tent, but he was still part of the camp. Now, 7 days later, he would bring his offerings to the sanctuary, and he could approach the Creator. So again, he's being brought into the camp immediately. I also want you to notice that in all of the Bible, only in the case of Zarat, and that would afflict the Metzora, must a priest declare a person unclean or clean. Thus, rabbinic literature notes that a priest going out of the camp to inspect a Metzora, that would have attracted a lot of attention. A multitude of people, in fact, would presumably have been witness to such an event. And we bring that out because that becomes a very interesting factor in just a moment. Now, when it comes to the particular elements that were used in the ritual of purification for the Metzora, that is the cedar, the hyssop, and scarlet, some rabbinic sources are at a loss to explain their significance. Maimonides, in fact, one of the most well-known sages of Israel, said this. He said, "I don't know at present the reason for any of these things." Now, we do know that hyssop is associated with sprinkling and purification. It's also noteworthy to point out that these very same elements, that is cedar, scarlet, and hyssop, were used in another mysterious ceremony, that is the burning of the red heifer, and then the subsequent ashes of purification. And oh, by the way, Maimonides was at a loss to explain that as well. But there has to be a reason, right? Now, let me read to you what the writer of Hebrews has to say as it hints to what the reason may be. Hebrews chapter 9, beginning in verse 13, he says this, "For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Messiah, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? So I read that because the writer of Hebrews mentions the ashes of a heifer. That would be a red heifer, which would then infer the ritual of burning the heifer, complete with the elements of cedar, scarlet, and hyssop. In other words, those elements and those rituals, including the pronunciation of a metzorah being made clean, are all intended to point us to the Messiah. I mean, think of it. If Zorat is a spiritual condition, then it has to be remedied spiritually. And that is the Messiah, who is the incorruptible seed. He is the one who cleanses us from our spiritual impurity and removes, in a sense, the corruptible seed from us. He is the one who raises the dead to life, and he's the one who transforms a walking corpse into a living soul. And by the way, cedar, scarlet, and hyssop, all of those can be found at some point in the crucifixion of the Messiah. For example, the hyssop that was used with the sour wine that was offered him as he hung upon the tree. But now, let's come back to the main point. To do that, I'm going to read to you from the Gospel of Mark, and it's the account of a leper, someone who's really most likely a metzorah, who encountered Yeshua one day. And so in Mark chapter 1, beginning at verse 40, it says this: "Now a leper, or metzorah, came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him, and saying to him, 'If you are willing, you can make me clean.' Then Yeshua, who was moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him," note that, "and said to him, 'I am willing, be cleansed.' And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the zarat, the leprosy, left him, and he was cleansed. And he strictly warned him and sent him away at once. And he said to him, 'See that you say nothing to anyone, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded.'" And get this, this is the most important point here: "as a testimony to them." And so in those verses, the first thing I want you to take note of is the fact that Yeshua touched him. Obviously, he was not fearing any kind of contamination from him. Secondly, notice that Yeshua is the one who cleansed him and consequently is the one who cleanses us from every evil contamination. And that is when we believe that he has the authority to do so, just like this man did. So again, we must remember that the zarat is believed to be a spiritual condition more so than a physical ailment. The physical affliction is simply the indication that the person is morally corrupt, and this affliction is being used to provoke him to turn to God. This man realized what he needed to do and who he needed to turn to, and he was not disappointed. But now I want to take a look at something else Yeshua says here. When he told the man, "Don't tell anyone." You know, there are a lot of people who believe, and I've heard this argued, that by telling him this, Yeshua didn't want anyone to know that he was the Messiah. He didn't want anyone to know the Messiah was here, that he was keeping it all a big secret. Actually, nothing could be further from the truth. Notice that Yeshua tells the man to go show yourself to the priest. Remember, only a priest could declare a metzorah unclean, and only a priest could pronounce that that person was clean. Also, consider what the rabbis presumed would happen if a priest had to go outside the camp to inspect a metzorah who had been healed of his affliction. They believed that this would have attracted the attention of a whole lot of people, that multitudes of people would have followed the priest to go witness this. Notice that Yeshua also told him, "Offer for your cleansing those things that Moses commanded," and get this, "as a testimony to them." Now, the things that he would have offered, those things would have included the hyssop, the cedar wood, the scarlet. But most importantly, it seems to me, it was to be a testimony to them. So the question is, who are the them? Well, that would be the priests. Well, what would the testimony be? Frankly, it would have been an announcement to them that the Messiah is here. Now, why do I say that? There is a tradition in Judaism that in all of Israel's history, there had not been any record of an Israeli male offering that particular gift. That is to signify that he was healed of his leprosy or his zavrat, that would have included the cedar, the hyssop, the scarlet. And that would have been a witness that they had been healed from this. Now, the Bible records that Miriam had been healed of it. Naaman the Syrian had been cleansed of it, but there is no record of an Israeli male during the entire time that there was a sanctuary in Jerusalem being healed of this and thus offering that gift. And so then it was determined a long time ago that the reason for the absence of this particular gift was to point to the Messiah. In other words, it became accepted to believe that this particular gift would be offered as a sign, one of many, that the Messiah had arrived, that when you saw this, that you knew the Messiah was here. In other words, when Yeshua told the man to offer the gift that Moses prescribed as a testimony unto the priests, he was telling him to provide the sign to the priests that the Messiah is here. So then, what should you and I take away from this? Well, we've said it once before, but let's say it again. It's Yeshua who cleanses us from our unrighteousness, from our zarat. He is the one who has the authority to forgive sin and to deliver us from our evil inclination. So then we should resolve that when those who are incurably unclean, like the Metzorah, are made clean, it's a very clear sign that He is here. In other words, how do we know that the Messiah dwells within someone, you, me, whoever? Well, when what they are on the outside is changing for the better, because a change has already occurred on the inside, that's how we know. That's how we know He is here, because He is the only one who can transform someone who is in this incurable state, indicative of someone who is morally corrupt. He's the only one who can cleanse them of that corruption and make them whole, starting with their heart, their soul, and their physical being. So that's what we're going to take away from this week's Torah Tidbit. I hope that you glean something from this, and I thank you for joining me. We'll see you next time. Shalom.
Like what you're hearing? Become a Bill Cloud Premium Partner to watch or listen to hundreds of hours of teachings and resources on demand. Go to BillCloud.com/subscribe to start watching today.